Well, this morning I'm just going to share a word that it's not what I originally planned, but as I was just waiting upon the Lord this morning, I'm reading the scriptures. I read a verse which really set me on a sort of a trail and thinking about other things, and I believe the Lord would have me share something on this morning. So I don't need this book, it's just itself. Praise the Lord. We've been looking in our Sunday mornings for a few weeks now, looking at the authority that we have as believers. And something that I touched on last week, we're talking about, do you remember last week we were sharing on the weapons of our warfare. And part of that weaponry or that armory that God has given us, was reading Ephesians 6, was the belt of truth. You know, truth and integrity are important and vital for our authority. Because if we're not truthful, we're not upright, we're not honest, you know, we can say whatever we like and the devil will know that our lives don't match up to what the things we're saying. So we never will truly have authority until we settle that issue. But the scripture I want to just share with you this morning is a scripture found in Revelation, and it's to do with truth, or it's to do with that sort of integrity. But the scripture says this, it's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, a scripture we probably know quite well, but I'm going to read it to you. And it says this, it says, "And they overcame him," that's talking about the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." Now it talks about the, in that reading, really perhaps we ought to have read from verse 9. Because there it clearly identifies the person it's talking about in verse 11. Because it says here that it talks about the great dragon, that serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. He deceives the whole world and was cast out to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." You know, the accuser of the brethren, someone who makes an accusation, and certainly know what, when the devil accuses us, everything he speaks, particularly when it comes from the devil, is not the truth. The Bible tells us, and Jesus said this, it says, when the devil, or when Satan speaks, he speaks a lie. Actually, Jesus put it quite strongly, he says, actually, he's speaking his own native language, because he is the father of lies. You know, he is a liar. He always has been. He always will be. You know, and that's the complete opposite to truth and integrity. But we overcome. That's really sort of looking at our authority. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, I want to just share this one a few thoughts on having a good testimony. A good testimony overcomes the enemy. Now, what do I mean by a testimony? Because very often we get a lot of words in church which we've through our religious traditions and things like that, we don't always understand what we're talking about. You know, when we mention testimony in church, we think about someone who stands up and shares how they became a Christian, or how they got ministered some healing to their body, or some answer to their prayer, or something like that. And that's not wrong. But the word testimony literally means a true report, an accurate record, or a witness account. And it's a legal term. You know, if you stood up in a court of law and was asked to give your testimony, or testimonies if you'd witnessed an accident in the street, like a car accident, and I know you see it quite frequently on the side of the road as you drive, there's little notices from the police saying that there's been an accident on this site, and they're appealing for witnesses to give a true account of what happened, or an accurate record of the events leading up to that accident, so they can piece together. We don't make it out to be something it isn't. You know, a lot of people, in sharing their so-called testimonies, omit many of the things which they think it doesn't make a good testimony. They omit to tell you about the struggles they had. They omit to tell you about the times they felt like quitting and giving up. They're quick to tell you how God blessed them, how God ministered to the need, but they don't tell you about the fight and the struggle that went with it. And very often, that's what we need to hear as Christians. It's nice to hear that God's going to minister to the need and he's going to answer the prayer, but it's sometimes more encouraging for those present to know that, yes, you too went through the same struggles that they're going through. You know, I like to read stories and about the great men and women of God in the past, their biographies, and you know how God intervened in their lives. And, you know, you get it in every story. You know, they tell you, yeah, it's great, you know, God called us to do this, and we set about doing it, and God supplied every need, and the money all came in, and everything was hunky-dory. But very often, life is, or reality is not like that. You know, there's a struggle. You know, there's the temptation to quit. You know, to give up. You know, to think that, oh, God's forgotten all about us. All those temptations come. You know, when we read in the scriptures, we read many of the men of God in the scriptures, we read a true testimony. Because we see their problems, we see their failings. You know, we know from looking at the life of David. Yes, we're gonna spend a bit of time this morning, just a few minutes, looking at the account in David's life where he killed the giant Goliath. But we can focus on that, but we also know something about David. We know that he had a problem in his life with lust and women. We know he had other things in his life. We know that is because the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us of people like Abraham, who we say is the father of faith. And, you know, we commend Abraham's faith and we talk about Abraham's faith, but we know also from the scriptures that God had to deal very strongly with Abraham and get him to, he actually had to change his name in order to bring Abraham into the place where he wanted him to be, so that he was speaking the right things. When I'm talking about testimony, I want us to think of it in the light of us giving a true record, us giving an accurate report or a witness account of what, not so much necessarily what God has done for us, but what God says about us. Because this is our testimony. This is called, we break that Bible into two words, which really is the same root. We have the word testament, New Testament and Old Testament. And it really comes from, it's an accurate record. That's what a testament is. It's an accurate, a last will and testament is an accurate record, or a true report of the person's wishes and desires, which they normally they divide out their estate, and They leave, say, we want to give this and leave that and do this. And it's an accurate record. But you have to sign and witness to say that that's a true record when you make your will and testament and whatever. So that's where we're going with this word testimony. A good testimony. Now, a lot of people, now this, as I said, is vital for our authority, because we read here that they, talking about those that were coming against, those that were fighting with Michael and his angels in the heaven, it says they overcame the accuser. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, many people have trouble believing that God is true to his word, because they don't believe their own words. What do I mean by that? Well, we, much to our, probably our detriment, we are very quick when we are raising our children up to threaten them. I don't mean, not necessarily here, but physically threaten them, but we threaten them with things that we're going to do, or things that might happen to them if they don't do this and don't do that. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. You know, we might say, if you don't do what I say, sometimes we use this word, I'm going to hit you so hard, or something like that, that it'll knock you into next week. Have you heard that statement? I'll knock you into next week. Well, there's no way we can actually do that. But we use that sort of thing. Or we threaten them that if they don't behave themselves, that perhaps we don't use it quite, we don't use it, I know the Americans do quite a bit, but something like the bogeyman will get them. Or something along those sort of lines. You know, we tell them stories and fables, like there's monsters living under the bed. Well, this is a part of their growing up, it's what they've grown up with. And it's not based on the truth. And because children learn these things very quickly in their young age, then that's why they start to push the boundaries. They say, well, no, Mom didn't really mean that she was going to do that to us. And they push as far as they can go. And that's part of their growing up. And they learn that quickly, and they test the integrity of your word. And very often we don't mean the things we say, but we say them anyway. And that's why we very often have trouble when it comes to God. When God says something in his word, we say, well, if he can't really mean what he's saying, why do we say it? Because we don't really mean when we say it. A lot of people have an issue with truthfulness and integrity. But it's vital in authority. We've got to be a honest people. We've got to be a truthful people. You know, God is truth. The scripture teaches us that. He is truth. There is no untruthfulness in him. In actual fact, the scripture tells us this, that it says that a lying tongue is an abomination to him in the Proverbs. You know, these things, a lying tongue is abominable to God. He cannot stand lies because he's truth. You know, we've been singing this morning, God's changed us. You know, we're not the people we used to be. So that means we should have everything in our lives should be the things that God is. God is love. We should be love. God is truth. We should be truth. You know, we should have those God attributes within us. Now, the words we speak, and I want us to just to look at this morning. The words we speak are very important. They have great significance for us. You know, we often say things which we don't mean, and that's our problem. We say what we don't mean, and we don't mean what we say. We will use phrases, and I touched on this a couple of weeks back, where we'll use phrases which will say, well, that's just a figure of speech, and we don't really mean that. Well, we shouldn't say it if we don't mean it. What do I mean? We say things like,
I don't know, something happening, and you might see a situation happening or something, and or you hear something, and you say, well, that just makes me sick. Well, we shouldn't say things like that. Because if we really meant what we say, we really believe what we say, the moment those words come out of our mouth, we'd be struck with some sickness. We use phrases like, well, that's, we get, because this happened to me in the week. You know, actually I've been so busy at an exhibition, it's at the Christian Resources exhibition, and you know, I've just been so shattered when I come home, but we can very often, we can say words like, you know, oh, my feet are just killing me. And we say, we use these as figures of speech, we say, well, that's just a figure of speech, but if we don't mean what we're saying, we shouldn't say it. We should say what we mean and mean what we say. You know, we should take out all these things out of our vocabulary if they're unbelief and they're not of God. You know, I've heard this said to me, and I've lost count how many times it's been said this week, and it's something that I have to deal with in my own life. I was very conscious that I used this phrase all the time in my speech and when I was talking with people. I'd say something like, and I've heard it said this week, I'm afraid I can't do that. If I've been on the phone to someone, they say, can you do this? Well, I'm afraid not. We use that term, I'm afraid. Actually, if we really meant those words, we'd be confessing fear. When we're actually clearly told in scriptures not to fear. We're not to fear, but to have faith. We're to trust God. So those sort of words, yes, they might just be, we might class them as figures of speech, but they can have great significance in our lives. In the book of James, James chapter 3, is a great chapter dealing with the tongue. And in James chapter 3, it says this, I'll start at verse 1. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You know, and then James went on to explain that a little bit. He says, look, he says, indeed, he says, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. He said, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You know, the words we speak, the way we use our tongue charts our course through life. Just like it, as James was going there and he's saying, look, he says, when we put a bit in the horse's mouth and we pull on the reins and it turns the horse, you know, we can direct the course the horse takes just by controlling that little thing that's in its mouth, that bit. The rudder on the ship. And you've seen these big ocean-going liners, you know, great things. But they're turned by a little piece of metal at the back of the ship, the rudder. You know, they're controlled. You know, and that little rudder can turn a mighty vessel and chart its course through the sea. And he goes on, he says, look, he says, our tongue is just a little member. It's just a little bit, but it can boast great things. You know, it can chart our course through life. So we should be careful the words we choose. Jesus warned his disciples, or taught his disciples, that really it's what was in there, what they really believed with their hearts, would be evidenced by the words they spoke with their mouth. And in Matthew 12, we read these words. He says, how can you being evil, speak good things? How can you, if you are evil, speak good things? He says, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in the heart is evidenced by the way we speak. Now, if we don't really believe something, we can try and dress it up as best we can, but when it comes to the crunch, it's evidenced by the things we say. You know, there's been many stories of people's last words. You know, there's been involved in some sort of accident which has meant that people are killed, like a car crash or a plane crash. So very often here, on the recorders, the these planes and things, they have voice recorders, so these crash investigators can find out the cause and the effects of the crash and all those things. And very often they tell us the very last words of the pilots recording on the voice box are words of blasphemy and words of hatred and things, because that's what's in their heart. You know, it's like it with a bit of sponge. If you tip a sponge, you know what sponges are like. You can fill it with water. You can fill it with whatever liquid it goes in, it will soak it up. And it doesn't matter how much you try and dress the sponge up. Whenever you squeeze the sponge, whatever's in the sponge will come out. Now, if it's oil, it will come out as oil. If it's water, it will be water that comes out. You know, and those sponges, they soak up whatever. And you can make it look fancy, you can sort of dress the thing up, but whenever you squash it, whenever it's squeezed, you know what's in it, because it comes out. And it's the same with us. Whatever's in our hearts, when we're squeezed, when the pressure's on, you know what's really inside, because it's evidenced by the things we say. So we can talk about... We could be wonderful in church on a Sunday and sing praises, but if our heart isn't right in the week when the pressure's on, it's evidenced by the things we say and the way we live. You know, we are, so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And then Jesus said these words. He says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Your truth and integrity are key to our authority. You know, if we are going to have authority over the enemy, we've got to be truthful people. We've got to be people of our word. We've got to be people that when we say something, we mean what we say. We can't say to in a factory situation or a workplace situation, if you have some sort of authority in that place and you give out an order to somebody to go and do something, you can't be... one thing saying somebody do this and then telling somebody else that, well, you didn't really want them to do that because, you know, you've got to be honest and truthful. You've got to have that integrity. And whatever you say, you've got to mean what you're saying. You know, we've got to give an account for every word, every idle word, the scripture here says, or every inoperative word, every inactive word that we speak. And that includes the phrases or the figures of speech that we use. You know, we've got to watch the things we say. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Just a few chapters earlier than that, Jesus, he put it a different way. He said this, and this is something that it's Matthew 5, verse 37. Very simple words, but so true. He says, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You know, that's, let your yes be yes and your no no. That's integrity. You know, mean what you say and say what you mean. Hebrews tells us that all the men and women of the Old Testament, men, and I don't want to go into them this morning because we've spent a lot of time looking at them on a Tuesday night, but the elders, in Hebrews 11 it says, the elders obtained a good testimony. They had a good testimony. You know, something good about their walk with God. Their testimony, the words they spoke were good. And that's why I want to share that as well. Having a good testimony. Now let's just look at some of these men in the scriptures. I just want to look at two instances. First is found in the book of Numbers, and this is the account of Caleb and Joshua. Now Caleb and Joshua. Were two of 12 spies that Moses sent into Canaan. Now, you know the account, you know what happened. Moses sent these 12 spies into Canaan to go and spy out the land because they're ready on it. This was their reconnaissance into Canaan, ready for the attack. They were about to march into this land. But they, 10 of these spies came back and said, well, it's not good. Yes, there's giants there. You know, the cities are fortified. You know, the people are too strong for us. You know, we're never going to overcome and break through and get the victory. If we go in, we'll be defeated. And that was the way they spoke. But Caleb and Joshua, the Bible tells us, had a different spirit. They had a spirit that was an overcomer spirit. Now, they didn't deny that the cities were fortified because they saw the same things that the 10 spies saw. You know, they saw the giants in the land. They saw the strong cities. They saw the problems. Yes, and as all 12 of them did, they saw all the good things as well. They saw the fruit that grew in the land. They saw that, yes, it truly, and they said this in their report, it truly is a land that flows with milk and honey, just as God has said. But the difference between Caleb and Joshua was this. You know, they were men of their word. They knew God's word. They knew what God had said, and they knew that God was faithful to his word. And they said, yeah, well, but God said, let's go off the dead. So let's go now and do it, because God will be with us. And we are well able to overcome. But the people of God, it says in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, those two chapters, it says they chose to believe the testimony of the majority of the spies. But they weren't given a good testimony. They weren't given a true and accurate, they were given a true and accurate report as far as they could see with their eyes. They said, yes, it's that fortified cities. Yes, the giants in the land. Yes, the people are strong. But they weren't, their report wasn't true to what God had said. Because God had said they should go in and take possession of the land. But the people chose to believe that majority report, or that majority testimony. And they failed to enter into the promise of God. They, we haven't thought about it like this, but had they done what God had told them to do, they would have saved themselves 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They would have saved them, well, they would have saved a whole generation of people dying. You know, they would have enjoyed the blessing of God for a whole generation rather than wandering in the back of the desert. But they chose to believe what the majority of the people said. But Caleb and Joshua had that spirit. They had a good testimony. Yes, they saw the problems, they saw it, but they knew, they put this testimony on their lips. God will fight for us. We can go in and do it. God is on our side. They knew what God had said, and that's their testimony. And a little bit, in Numbers 14, verse 28, I want you just to read these words. Because what had happened is people said, well, we can't do this. And then they started complaining and grumbling, saying, it would have been better off if we'd been back in the wild. It would be better off us to die in the wilderness than to face the enemy and be killed and slaughtered. And God said, okay. Verse 28, he says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. This generation of people listened to what the report was, and they said, well, we might as well just die here in the wilderness, because we're only going to be killed when we go into battle. So God says, okay, if that's what's in your heart, that's what you really believe, that's what you will have. And because of that word they spoke, many of them lost their lives very quickly, and that whole generation was wiped out, except for two people. Even God's servant Moses was numbered in that was wiped out. But two people, Joshua and Caleb, because they had a good testimony, they chose to put God's word on their lips. They kept that testimony. And God raised up those two men to march into the land and take it. Another man, we touched on him earlier on, David. In 1 Samuel 17, he's facing Goliath. And Goliath's giving out his threats. And David hears everything that's going on. And in chapter 17, where he's facing Goliath, I'm not going to go into all the story of how, you know, David put on the armor, because you know all that. And, you know, God's people, the army of Israel, they wouldn't go out against Goliath. They were too fearful to go, because God's word wasn't in their hearts. They didn't have that good testimony. They weren't people of their word. They weren't people of integrity. But David was a young man who, when he was squeezed, when the pressure was on, that what was in him came out of his mouth. And he said, look, he says, how dare this Philistine defy the armies of the living God? How dare he come up and say these things against God? And then he said, oh, I'm going to go out and fight him. And they tried to dress him up in armor, and, as you know, and he says, look, I can't wear this. I've got to go. I've got to go in what I've proved. And so he went out and faced Goliath. In verse 45, it says this, you know, the Philistines still speaking threats to him. He says, look, he says, I'm going to kill you, feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, to Goliath, in verse 45, he says, you come to me with a spear and a javelin, or a sword, a spear and a javelin. He says, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then he begins to start speaking to Goliath. He says, look, he says, today the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Today I'm going to strike you and take your head from you. And today I'm going to give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now he began to speak what God had put in him. He began to speak the word of God, that prophetic word over Goliath. And God sees, as we just saw, the things we say as the basis of what we believe and expect. So, for the people of Israel in the wilderness, because they said it's better that we'd be better off dying here than facing the enemy, they died where they were. For David, because he said, look, I'm going to come to you in the name, this is going to happen, and I'm going to take your head from you, I'm going to kill you. He said, you're going to be our servants. God saw this heart of this young man, and he says, okay, he says, that's what he believes, that's what he's expecting, that's what he will get. And God gave David the victory that day. You know, we can only overcome the devil with a good testimony. So we need to learn to control our tongue. Our life must match up with the words we speak. Because I just want to read one more verse in wrapping this up this morning. A verse we often read in association with prayer. But in Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus said these words. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, I don't believe that's talking about just plucking any old word out and saying, "Well, we're going to have this, we're going to..." It's a good test. It's what God has said. He's talking about having faith in God. Now, if we've got faith in God, we're only going to speak the things that God says. So he says, whoever... Look how many times it talks about speaking, in reference to speaking in these verses. "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Then verse 24 goes on saying, "So therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." They overcame the enemy with a good testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, we need a good testimony. Now, I'm talking about our life, and our life's got to match up to the things we say, but no, let's not say things which we don't really mean. We've got to be people of our word. And when we're people of our word, we'll have a lot of respect, if I can use that word, for what God says. Because we know that our word means something. And if our word means something, then we respect somebody else's word. And when it comes to God, and we believe his word, then we've got a true testimony, a true report, an accurate record. And that is what we need to overcome the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, I haven't got time to go any deeper into it, but let's just take those things we've heard this morning and just allow them to fill our heart. You know, let me challenge you to look at your language. Look at the things you say. Do you really mean what you say? You know, I heard somebody once say this, that if we really believe the things we say, or the things we said, a lot of the things we say we would stop saying straight away. Because things would happen in our life. Bad things would begin to happen in our life if we really believe what we say. So we've got to start choosing to believe what God says. Start putting God's word on our lips. You know, there's a difference between truth and fact. God is truth. Doesn't matter what the facts say, God is truth. We might say, "Well, this situation I'm in is too bad. It's too hard." Yes, it might be. That's the fact. But the truth is, in Christ, we're overcomers. Yeah, we've got a problem in our... Look at sin. The fact is that we were sinners. The fact is that we make mistakes. But the truth is that God will forgive us. Now, we can ask God for forgiveness, and we might even still feel the same, even after we've been forgiven. Because we can't always alter facts, but the truth never changes. So let's stop believing the truth. Be people of the truth. People of our word. People of God's word. And we'll start to see, as we begin to exercise our authority, things happen very quickly. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for, Lord, your word to us today. Father, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, to be men and women, Lord, of our word. Father, Lord, that we, Lord, won't say things, Lord, which we don't really mean. But Father, we will mean everything that we actually say, Father. Father, Lord, teach us, Lord, to put your word on our lips. Lord, as we saw in the examples, Lord, of Caleb and Joshua and David and, Lord, many of the other great men and women of God, that, Lord, Hebrews lists in that great chapter, Lord, it says that they obtained a good testimony, Lord, through faith. So, Father, Lord, we just put our faith in you this morning. Lord, we come to you, Father. Lord, we, Lord, expect you, Lord, to honor your word. Lord, we talk like that, Lord. We expect you to honor your word, but, Lord, very often we don't honor ours. So, Father, in that sense, we repent, Father, and we say we're sorry. Lord, just deal with us. Change us, Father. Lord, into the people, Lord, that, Lord, we are meant to be. Father, Lord, that this word will just be in us, Lord, today. Lord, this week. Lord, that your word will be in us. Lord, so that when, Lord, pressure comes, Lord, like the sponge, Lord, and we're squeezed and pressed, Father, Lord, that, Lord, good comes out of our mouth, Father. Lord, good comes out of our heart. Lord, that your word comes out of us. Father, Lord, that your love comes out of us. Lord, that your truth will come out of us, Father. Lord, that, Lord, you yourself, Lord, the Christ-likeness in us, Lord, will come out of us, Lord, when the pressure's on. Father, Lord, because we are so, Lord, wrapped up in you. So, Father, we just ask this, Lord, that, Lord, you just bless us this week. Lord, just, Lord, give us such a good time, Lord, this week. Lord, bless us with work, Father. Bless us, Lord, with, Lord, Lord, around our homes, Father. Lord, bless us as we go to school and college. Lord, whatever we do, Father. Lord, that your hand will be upon us this week, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.